Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello again, everybody. Cheryl Atkison here. Welcome to another edition of Full Measure After Hours. Today, an interview that I suspect you might find somewhat disturbing with a Chinese-American scientist who the FBI wrongly accused of being a spy. There are so many takeaways from the story you're going to hear about today. In an overarching sense, it's yet another example of alleged FBI incompetence or corruption, depending on how you view the case. Amid a stack of such examples that I've covered over the years, including on this podcast, when the FBI arrests somebody only to have charges dropped later, it still often destroys lives. It requires people of modest means to pay sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars defending themselves, answering legal requests for information, and so on. It gets them fired from their jobs. It can destroy family relationships. It can cast doubt on the person for the rest of their life. Well, such is the case with Zhao Jingxi, a Chinese-American scientist, now a professor of physics at Temple University. My report about what happened to him is the subject of this week's Full Measure cover story that's on Sunday, February 5th. I hope you don't miss it. For today's podcast, an extended interview with that scientist, Xi.
How did you first come to understand, in what time period, that you were being accused of being a spy?
The point of time, right? So I was shocked when I opened the door, when FBI agents came to my house and pounding on my door, and I did not know why. And so actually I asked them, why was I arrested? And they would not tell me. And they were saying, well, come to the FBI field office and answer some questions, and I will tell you. And then, they took me to the FBI field office in Philadelphia, and they interrogated me for 2 hours. And, I knew that, normally you should not answer a question without a lawyer present. But I wanted to know why they accused me so that I can start thinking about how to defend myself. Because, I went through all my life in my mind, and I couldn't figure out why they were coming to arrest me. And so at the very end of the interrogation, they still wouldn't want to tell me, and I keep asking why. And that's when they told me for having made a device called a pocket heater for my Chinese collaborator. Which was totally false, and I knew it could never be, it could not possibly be true. So, that's the point, that I knew why I was arrested.
What kinds of questions were they asking you?
Oh, it's just the very questions about our everyday work. Did you have Chinese students in your lab, and you went to China to give talks, and it's all those kind of things. Nothing is... So from the question that they asked me, I wouldn't know why they charged me. So that's why I keep asking, why was I arrested?
And did they let you go at the end of that interrogation?
Well, as a physics professor, I had absolutely no experience with the legal system, right? So looks like that I need to tell you what I have learned. So the process is like this. They arrest me, and then I will be having my first court appearance where I will be told why I was charged, and then I will be deciding on bail. And so the government did not insist to keep me in jail. So I was released on bail that afternoon.
What happened when they came to your house? Did they barge in? Was it a scary experience, or were they fairly just commonplace and polite?
Well, I mean, it was very, very scary. And so they pounded on my door, that woke me up. And so I ran to open the door, right? I didn't even get myself fully dressed. And I have shorts, bare-chested. And so I opened the door, see all these people. And some of them have weapons, and two guys have a battering ram and near my door. So I was thinking, well, you know, if I were slower, they may have broken down my door. So then these armed agents, you know, is there a gun drawn, and they're running into the house and running around and yell, FBI, FBI. And so they kind of ordered my wife and two daughters coming out of their bedrooms and with their hands raised. And it was very, very scary.
How old were you girls?
So I have two girls. The older one was about 19, and the younger one was 12 at the time.
What year was this?
This was 2015.
And what time of day?
It was before 7 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. When you first became aware that the accusation was some sort of industrial espionage, is that what it's called?
I suppose, yeah.
What thoughts went through your mind?
Well, the very first word I uttered was, that's absurd. You know, it could not be true. So that's what went through my mind.
And if you can explain clearly and succinctly, specifically what they were accusing you of doing with the pocket heater.
They were just saying that I had a collaboration with colleagues in China.
Was that legal?
Yes, absolutely. That was completely on the research that was open. That was my research, based on my research. And everything, you know, as a university professor, we do so-called fundamental research. Everything we do, we have to publish it. And everything we published, we have to disclose all the details so that people read the paper, can reproduce what we do. That's what most of our university professors do, fundamental research. And so I was collaborating with the colleague on something based on my research, and that was encouraged by the university and the U.S. government. So there's nothing secretive about it.
This was a pocket heater?
No, well, the research, the collaboration I have was not about the pocket heater. And but the government accused me of, disclosing pocket heater information in this collaboration, which was totally wrong.
And I know this gets a little arcane, but what is sensitive about pocket heater research?
Nothing. It was, you know, the pocket heater that was used by this U.S. company, that was discovered by a German company in the 1990s and well-published. Everybody in the field know about it. And so, you know, I don't understand.
And your research was on what type of product or device?
Well, we work on materials physics that's related to all kinds of possible applications. And so we make so-called thin films, very, very thin materials on some substrate that you can use it for fundamental research or use it for devices.
Did you ever figure out how the government got confused and thought that you were working on a pocket heater instead of what you were really working on?
I don't know the detail. That's part of the reason that we have a lawsuit against the government, because we want to know all the facts. What we do know is that the FBI agent who investigated my case made up evidence, and he was told that I was not talking about the pocket heater before he went ahead and charged me.
What evidence did they, in your view, or based on your research, fabricate?
Well, you know, that got into the detail of our lawsuits that my lawyer would not want me to go into.
What is, without the details, what is your current lawsuit claim?
The FBI agents made up data. He knew he was wrong and went ahead with that.
Let's talk about you being chosen as a suspect in the first place. You feel this had something to do with you being a Chinese. Are you a Chinese American? Are you a U.S. citizen? I'm sorry.
I am a U.S. citizen, yes.
You feel as though perhaps you were picked on or pointed to because you were Chinese descent?
Well, again, that's the heart of our lawsuits that my lawyer would want to answer in more precise language. But given what the actions of the FBI agent, and that's an obvious explanation.
Have you, in your research, found that similar things have happened to other Chinese scientists working here in America?
Oh, absolutely. You know, my case happened in 2015, and before my case, there were already a few the Chinese scientist who was accused of basically spying for China, right? And after my case, in my case, they failed, and there were several other cases before my case that were a failure. Sherry Chen and from the Weather Service, National Weather Service, and two scientists from Eli Lilly. And they were charged for kind of a stealing secret for China, and they were all dropped. And afterwards, the DOJ paused somewhat, and I think they have some new rules about all these prosecutions have to be approved by the DOJ. And then in 2018, they established this China Initiative. And soon after that, there are many, many cases based on non-disclosure. You did not disclose your collaboration with some Chinese universities in your university conflict of interest form or in your grant proposals for funding agencies. And there have been many, let's say more than a dozen university professors who were charged for non-disclosure.
Are there any cases you think that are legitimate? Because we do hear that China is working very hard to infiltrate our technology, and I think there is evidence of industrial espionage happening.
Well, I can say with certainty, of all these professors, none of those cases involve theft of intellectual property. There's zero. They were not able to show any case that actually have some stolen intellectual property. And they are all about the non-disclosure. Many of them are about non-disclosure. There are some other weird cases too.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
In your case, ultimately, the charge or charges were dropped.
Mm-hmm.
How did it get to the point from the raid and the questioning and the charging to them dropping the case?
Yeah, my legal team contacted the top experts in my research field, and they provided affidavits. So we gave them all my communications with my Chinese collaborators. And they look at them and they say, well, all these emails are not about pocket heater. They are about the research of his own. And so my lawyer made a presentation to the government. And a few weeks after that, they dropped the case.
How did this impact your life?
Oh, that's dramatic. That's significant. I mean, you know, as you said, most people do not realize that when the government charges somebody, it's not necessarily true, right? They all assume that the government charged somebody, this guy must have done something wrong. Even if the case is dropped, right? Many people think, well, you know, the government dropped case for many reasons. And it's not necessarily because this guy is innocent, but because of other reasons. So we always carry that, you know, the stigma, right? And so we must have done something wrong. So that's very damaging. One thing, though, is the fear that it created in our mind, right? Not only my mind, my wife, my daughters. We all learned how government can twist something, which is nothing, to charge somebody, right? Even if they are innocent. So that created fear that every time when we send emails or make phone calls, we're afraid that FBI might be looking, might be reading. And if anything that we are saying not 100% precise, it could become a reason that they charge us, right? For my work, everyday work, if you apply for funding, you have to, you know, check many boxes and many certifications. I mean, anything, if I don't do precise, it could become a reason for them to charge me. So that make my life very, very stressful. And as a result of that, my research is much, much smaller than it used to be. And I think that's very similar to the so-called fear factor that many Chinese-American scientists are talking about now. There's this recent survey that shows that more than 40% of these Chinese academics are fearful of doing research in this country, or I think about not applying for federal funding. And over 60% of respondents of that survey are considering leaving the United States. And that fear I know very well, right? Because that's exactly what I felt and after my case. And that obviously had a traumatic effect on my career and also on my life. You know, all my family members, I mean, this fear are with everyone.
How would you say that impacts the U.S., that there are probably a lot of talented Chinese researchers here? Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not doing the work they could do or would otherwise do.
Well, as I said, 40-some percent of Chinese American academics are trying to avoid apply for federal funding, and 60% or more thinking about leaving. And I'm sure there are many more future scientists who could have come here, would think about whether to do that or not. That has a very negative impact on American science and technology. I want to bring up one report that's released by the National Academy of Sciences at the end of September. And that said very, very clearly how important attracting talents is to American technology. And so policy that driving away talents who are already here and preventing the future talents from coming, that has huge effect. According to this report, National Academy of Science report, the threat is to damage the Americans' capacity, the capability of innovation, rather than that's a bigger threat than the possible stolen technology.
The Chinese scientists who may be working here, whether Chinese nationality or Chinese American, are they discovering things and inventing things and researching things that can benefit the U.S. or the universities where they work?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, these Chinese scientists are making a significant contribution to American science and technology. So, you know, you're talking about these people stealing secrets or intellectual property. These people are the people who are creating these intellectual properties and these discoveries and the innovations. So this is, I think the former Secretary of Energy, Stephen Chu, was saying, this is not just shooting on at your foot. You're shooting at your head, right? Driving away all these talents who are making these important discoveries and innovations.
And in looking at the other side, in fairness, there is a, I would like you to address, there is a Chinese threat to mm-hmm. our technology. I mm-hmm. think it's well established. Mm-hmm. How would you think it'd be better balanced that the United States is vigilant in protecting its technology and its secrets, but at the same time not accusing innocent people of doing something mm-hmm. wrong?
First off, I want to say that the fact that the Department of Justice is spending this much resource on these innocent Chinese-American academics. The question I would ask is, are they really catching real spies, right? Are they spending taxpayers' money responsibly in protecting our country, right? Because when they go after these innocent people, they are not focusing on catching the real spies, which we expect them to do, right? That's their job. They should be doing that. But they're going after all these innocent people. So how to protect American, innovation and technology? I mean, that's the report that I mentioned by the National Academy of Sciences that answers exactly that question, right? That their conclusion is, it's more important to protect America's ability to innovate rather than protect some specific technologies. Because if you prevent the talents from coming, driving away talents, and if you weaken the ecosystem of American innovation, that's a much bigger threat to Americans' competitiveness.
Were you familiar with the case of Wen Ho Lee when this happened to you?
We all know of that case, yes.
You know, you were very wrapped up in your own emergency at the mm-hmm. time. And his case was different. He was working at a mm-hmm. nuclear weapons lab and so on. But there were some, perhaps, similarities mm-hmm. with the FBI behavior and so on. Did it occur to you that there were some similarities to the Wen Ho Lee case?
Well, you know, the book that he published with Helen Zia, I mean, that was the book I read very soon after my arrest. And so we can see that, the Chinese scientists of Chinese descent are being treated unfairly. That's fairly clear.
Any reflections on his case? Because I'll briefly revisit that in my story. The fact that he was held in solitary confinement mm-hmm. while he was awaiting trial, mm-hmm. that the FBI agents admitted to the judge ultimately that they were dishonest about several factors. Mm-hmm. What reflections do you have about that case?
Well, he was charged as a spy or at least publicly labeled as a spy, but he was not, right? So he, if I understand correctly, he downloaded some data that he should not have. But also I read that many people did the same, and but he was prosecuted and went through, as you mentioned, this solitary confinement, and that's obviously a case that was not fair.
In the big picture, beyond your case, what do you think needs to happen?
What need to be happen? I think somebody else asked me questions similar to this, and what I was saying is, given the current geopolitical situation, right, and we don't want to be sent to the internment camp. That's what need to happen. So, my case and so many other Chinese American academics case all show that we were not treated fairly. And we all know that China and the United States are in this situation. I think in many senses, they are at war. And the previous time that the United States was at war with another country, Japan, hundreds of thousand people were sent to the internment camp. I think more than 100,000 people. And we don't want that to happen.
That was Chinese-American scientist Zhaoxing Shi, who has a current lawsuit filed against the FBI. If you're interested in this topic, you will want to listen this week to my other podcast, the Cheryl Akison Podcast. There, I'm talking more about the pattern, going back to the Wen Ho Lee case, which I covered at CBS News. I will be telling some of the behind-the-scenes information that I've never publicly told before that I think gives some important context into the case of this wrongly accused man. And be sure to watch my TV program, Full Measure, this week on Sunday, February 5th. If you miss it or are listening to this podcast after February 5th, you can catch replays at fullmeasure.news, or maybe it's even easier, go to CherylAkison.com, click the Full Measure tab. You will see a page that you can click and see all of my cover stories. Makes for some pretty incredible binge watching, if I do say so myself. Particularly if you're looking for news covered more the old-fashioned way, with stories that don't tell you what you have to think, that don't censor certain people and views, and that tackle topics that others would rather not give any attention to. To find out how to watch my TV program, you can go to CherylAkison.com, click the Full Measure tab, and all the ways to watch are right there, whether it's a TV station list for a city near you with times, or on our free app, Stirr, that's spelled S-T-I-R-R, that has all kinds of cool things, but you can see Full Measure live on Sundays at 9:30 in the morning Eastern Time, or on demand anytime. You can watch on our website, fullmeasure.news/live, Sundays at 9:30 Eastern Time, or replays thereafter. Lots of ways to watch. If you want to support independent journalism, you can click the store tab at my website, CherylAkison.com, for some thought-provoking and fun products and some clever slogans that independent and free thinkers are sure to appreciate, with proceeds benefiting causes like the Cheryl Akison Ion Awards that I give to students and professionals to encourage independent fair reporting. We don't have enough of that today. Do your own research, make up your own mind, think for yourself.